This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. We're back. This is Alan Ellis in the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and I did promise one of our listeners a smart, green, and growing tip today. So we want to make sure before we go to our guest. So we want to make sure that we get that to you. This is from Maryland's Department of Natural Resources. As spring gives way to summer, so the excitement of planting a new garden and tidying the yard gives way to the drudgery of maintenance. Put more simply, weed season is upon us. Many homeowners resort to the use of lawn and garden pesticides to attack weeds, but there are better ways. And on it goes about pouring boiling water on weeds, overseeding grass, and doing all the other things. This comes to us from the Department of Natural Resources, and when you click the link, it takes you to, get this, the Daily Green, a consumer's guide to green from goodhousekeeping.com. A very nice little website if you're into that. Set up by the good folks at Good Housekeeping to, sell advertising, including Sweet and Low, State Farm, Procter & Gamble, Macy's, and others. And then there's a place to confess your eco-sins. I have a job I love and I go to a school I love also, but they are 40 miles apart. I drive back and forth every day in an SUV. Glad you got that off your conscience. I drive every day in a Ford pickup truck. So anyway, that's where I'm coming from. Email Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. Website for the Outdoors and Radio Show where you can listen to the podcast is Ellis Outdoors, also ellisoutdoors.com. Email is Ellis, my last name, at ellisoutdoors.com. Like the Outdoorsman Radio Show, Maryland Loves Crabs, Maryland Hunting Quarterly, Ellis Outdoors LLC, all on Facebook. Our Facebook social media coordinator, Laura Rigsby, will be more than glad to work with you on that. And now it is time for our guest, Dr. Joe Love, Ph.D. You got it there, Pat? Hey, nice T-shirt, Roberto Clemente, 3,000 hits, boyhood hero. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Good, man. What's going on?
Not much. Thanks for letting me come online this morning.
Oh, glad to do it. Glad to do it.
Good. We've got a lot of stuff going on in tidal bass right now, so we're staying pretty active, I guess, at work. You know, it's coming out of spring into summer, so we're starting to get outside and do some field surveys and such.
We've got largemouth bass in all of our tidal rivers.
We do.
From north to south, east to west. I mean, the Chop Tank, the Sassafras, the Potomac, the Susquehanna. They've all got bass.
Oh, yeah, they're all out there. You know, some rivers have more than others, you know.
Oh, yeah.
like,
no kidding.
Yeah. The anglers have some better success, in the Potomac and the Upper Bay, and then the Pocomoke doesn't do too bad.
No, that's true.
Either, but you're right. We do have them in all of the major tidal rivers and a lot of our impoundments, a lot of our lakes and ponds. So it's a real big fishery in Maryland.
It is
fishery nationwide. I think people probably know that, but in Maryland, it's a pretty doggone big fishery. We do a lot of talking about blue crabs and striped bass a lot, but we do have a very nice, healthy component of anglers out there who go after largemouth bass.
Well, I remember back when I was in junior high school and did a tour of Washington D.C. One of the things we did was take a boat ride up the Potomac, and it smelled so bad, and there were dead carp floating everywhere.
Ooh.
Yeah, and that's many years ago. But the Potomac has come a long way. The Susquehanna, of course, has also come a long way. But we actually, I'm sure you remember, we had the Bassmasters Classic here.
In the early 90s.
Yeah,
right?
1990 was the year, and I was a guest angler and fished some of those rivers with some of the superstars, and you know they were all here in Baltimore, made a big deal out of it,
It was great.
And I had the opportunity to fish some of the Upper Bay rivers with one of our leading patriarchs of bass fishing here in Maryland, Captain Dan Kardash.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've been doing this for a little bit as far as my 30 years here in Maryland. So, what's your top project at the moment, Joe? What are you working on? I know you multifaceted, but what's taking priority at the moment?
Well, we are we try and be a little multifaceted, I suppose. But,
okay.
We're just coming off of some work related to bass reproduction. There's a good deal of work out there about where bass reproduce and tidal rivers, and our interest is in trying to identify some of those important areas. You know, and some rivers like the Choptank River, our biologists and anglers have mentioned, you know, there's not much spawning habitat in those systems, so the population's just never going to get so robust, and so maybe we have to supplement it with some hatchery stock. Well, we like to identify where those good areas are for reproduction so that we can possibly enhance them, if we can do that.
Sure.
Or protect them, as lands become developed and watersheds change, it's important that we get our voice into that plan for watershed change and let them know that, you know, what they do could affect, you know, spawning habitat for largemouth bass. So, here recently, we've been conducting some surveys in some major coves and some tidal rivers and determining just how well used they are by bass, and then doing some mapping on with some computer software. And right now, we've got a little over 140 coves in tidal rivers in the Chesapeake Bay watershed right now, mapped out and characterized by what the grasses have been doing over the past 10 years, and hopefully what we'll do over the next year or two is get a better sense of whether or how good some of those coves are for bass reproduction, and then we'll try and get that information into the hands of watershed planners and get
sure.
Get that information to the hands of anglers and our regional biologists too.
Let me ask you a question, Joe. Now, aren't these spawning areas shared by other species too? I mean, don't bluegills and things like that also, do they actually compete for spawning habitat?
Oh, sure. Well, there could be some competition, but Mother Nature is great in that the seasons for reproduction can differ
right.
Among species, and sunfish tend to begin building their nests, soon after. There's some overlap there, but soon after largemouth do. But there's certainly some competition for nesting success, and certainly there's multiple species in these coves or
sure.
these areas where bass are reproducing.
And there's always predation on the nest as well as far as the eggs and the fry and things like that. Correct?
Oh yes,
yeah.
always. And that is just, you know, that's just Mother Nature.
That's nature, sure. That's exactly, that's right, yeah.
Yep.
But is the key, you mentioned vegetation, is the SAVs, as they call them, the submerged aquatic vegetation, key to bass spawning or key to protecting the fry?
Yeah, good, great question. It is key to protecting the fry.
Okay.
Bass are a wonderful species. They can reproduce or have reproduced in a lot of very different habitats.
Yes.
I've read reports of bass even reproducing in old tires, though I wouldn't suggest throwing old tires in the water.
No, of course not.
All right. Right, but I've read those reports. But the offspring, they do need protection. And as you know, the males typically protect the nest, but, you know, we do have angling pressure during the spring. Sometimes a bass is removed from the nest. You know, sometimes there are just an awful lot of predators around that nest, and it's tough for the bass to defend it completely or wholly effectively. So there's always going to be natural predation on those nests by sunfishes or by surrounding predators, and that's okay. A certain number of nest failures is fine for keeping the population healthy. It's natural to have nest failure. It's natural for some offspring of bass to get eaten. That's just going to happen. It's been happening. But our goal is to try and protect as many nests as we can by protecting those vital habitats for bass and then for the other species that are coexisting with.
Well, let me ask. Now I'm going to ask. I'm going to throw another curveball at you too.
Sure.
We have several species of invasive crayfish here in Maryland in those tidal rivers. And my question to you is, you know, we see the warnings on those and, you know, don't dump your bait at you. You don't know what species of crayfish is going to be in your bait bucket, and don't move crayfish from one body of water to another. We do have naturally occurring crayfish here in our Maryland rivers and streams, but we have, I don't know, three or four or five, who knows, different species of crayfish that are invasive species.
Right.
What's the impact of invasive crayfish and other invasive species on our recruitment of bass in our tidal rivers?
Well, that's another great question. The to be honest with you, the issue with crayfish influencing recruitment hasn't been well addressed. Bass do eat a lot of crayfish. So crayfish are important. You know, even the invasive.
But crayfish eat a lot of bass too, don't they?
What's that?
Crayfish eat a lot of bass.
Yeah. So it goes back and forth. Now, how much? How many young bass get preyed upon by crayfish? I have no idea. And I don't know that that's been a topic that's been well studied at all.
Well, I'm just thinking, if I'm a bass fisherman and I'm fishing a tidal river and I'm fishing a cove in a spawning area, I'm targeting a nest and I'm throwing crayfish in there and they're killing it.
Yes.
Why are they killing crayfish? Because naturally crayfish invade the nest and eat the eggs.
Right. There's that. I think.
And there's other fish too. I mean, I guess you could throw a, you know, bluegill imitation in there and catch a bass just as well, or a lizard, or whatever, some type of predator looking thing, which we've done. But it was just a question that came to mind because of, you know, we have this focus on these invasive crayfish, and I'm just wondering if that's an impact.
Well, I'll tell you, the bass on the nest is going to be incredibly defensive, so they're likely to strike at just about anything you throw at them.
That's true.
So whether, you know, it's a crayfish or a bluegill imitation or whatever, but the issue, you know, I think one of the more common issues with crayfish, in my understanding, I'm not a very good crayfish biologist.
Well, didn't mean to throw you a curveball. But.
No, it's fine. My understanding is that one of the major problems with crayfish is invasive crayfish is really their impact on native crayfish.
Right.
And that's one of the things we're trying to protect in Maryland, and I think nationwide, is just our national biodiversity. And, you know, we get so many of these invasive species coming over, and they establish themselves, and to some degree, we kind of lose what our natural landscape looked like 100 years ago.
Right.
And I think people are trying to, just aesthetically, you know, for aesthetic reasons, trying to protect that. But there are some, other important reasons for keeping our native crayfish in the water beyond just, you know, trying to maintain our natural biodiversity.
Well, I was talking with somebody the other day. We were ticking off a few of the invasive species that have become basically endemic. I mean, you've got carp, you've got brown trout, which goldfish, which was once an invasive species. Now the newest player and the most one that gets the most press is the snakehead, of course, and we'll get into that a little later. We've got hydrilla that, they tried to wipe it out before it ever got here. Now it's probably one of the most important things that has happened to the largemouth fishery on the Potomac anyway.
Yep.
And, you know, and another invasive species, there's, you know, there's other things that we could tick off if we wanted to. But we've got to take a break right now, so bear with me while we talk about a couple of things, and we'll get right back to you.
Sure.
All right. Hey, it's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You know, now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. Diamond Jim is a tagged rockfish worth up to $10,000, and he's swimming in the Chesapeake Bay just waiting to take your bait. Diamond Jim has lots of imposters out there, too, and they're even worth $500. So catch a rockfish with a bright green tag. Call the number on the tag. You might just have captured a $10,000 prize. And guess what? If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland cetacean-sized fish or crab, including a largemouth or smallmouth bass, you can certify that catch. You're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater on the tidal rivers that we're talking about today, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book that comes with your license, visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Fishbones has all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report in the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. Hey, if you want great bass fishing gear, don't forget Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They've got everything for bass and panfish and trout and striped bass and any other type of fish that you'd like to catch. They've got the live bait. They've got the artificial lures. They've got the rods, reels, rod and reel repair. They'll wind line on your reel. And you'll be ready to go fishing, even have licenses, too. And don't forget, they have firearms for hunting and protection. They specialize in Browning and a few more guns in the gun case now. So check them out. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, just off Beltway, exit 9, 242-6108. The website is Clyde's Sports, two S's in the middle, .com. Or you can check out the fishing hotline, too, for the latest information. 247-3474, that's 410-247-FISH.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. It's always smart to stick to a budget, but financial planners disagree on the best budgeting strategies. Those who advocate tracking your spending every day say that strategy provides a crucial reality check, ensuring that savers stay on course. Those who prefer tracking spending over a shorter period, like a few months, argue that people tend to fall off the wagon with long-term tracking. The basic argument for scrupulously recording everything you spend is discipline. Recording every expense nature forces you to be aware of where your money goes. Tracking everything also helps with long-term planning. It's easier to identify where you can cut back. The big argument for going short-term is simple. Long-term tracking is just too hard for a lot of people to maintain. It takes more time and honesty than many people can muster, so they tend to fib on spending or they burn out and stop tracking their activity altogether. Even tracking expenses for a few months can jolt people into being more careful with their spending. This is the Wall Street Journal report.
What if someone invented a way to find the perfect brand new car that didn't involve driving from new car dealership to new car dealership? Well, AutoTrader.com did. By searching our immense inventory of actual new cars for sale, you can see which dealers have the exact 2013 sedan you want. Plus, see who has the best price and compare offers in your area like cash back or low APR. So you can find which dealership has your perfect car and the best deal before ever leaving the house. AutoTrader.com, the ultimate new car marketplace.
I know my business, but I don't know much about creating a website.
Who has the time to create their own website?
Well, I always thought a website would cost a lot of money. Then I discovered Wix.com.
Wix.com was the perfect solution.
It's so easy. You choose a beautiful design, write what you want to say, and move your images where you want them. No coding, no confusion.
And the best part is that Wix.com is absolutely free.
No matter what size your business, people don't take you seriously unless you have a professional-looking website. Create your own stunning website for free at Wix.com. That's W-I-X.com.
Talk Radio. 680 WCPM.
And that's how they do their angler surveys along the rivers with barefoot girls dancing in the moonlight. Isn't that right, Joe?
Yeah. In fact, I see that all the time.
I thought maybe.
I don't ever get into it. That would be bad for the job, I guess.
All right. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the tournaments in Maryland. You know, bass tournaments are a big thing around the country, and we got the water here. We mentioned previously that they actually had the classic out of Bassmasters Classic out of Baltimore decades ago, but we still have tournaments just about every week somewhere.
Oh, yeah. You know, BASS just listed, I think it was a couple years ago now, the Potomac River in their top 100 lakes to fish. There weren't too many rivers on that list, but the Potomac River made it as part of their list of best places to go bass fishing.
Well, we had Gunnar Beal on here a couple of weeks ago. I know you know Gunnar, Mr. Bass.
Yeah,
he was a guest here, filled in the same time slot here. Gunner's been a friend for many years, and he actually works for one of our sponsors in the wintertime, which is Pete's Cycle Company. So he won Mr. Bass, and on he goes to the next step. So
yeah, I mean it's a lot of fun. It's a great competition, I think. Among people, it gives them something to do, and in some cases, you know, it can earn you quite a bit of money.
Oh yeah.
Quite a bit of prestige, but we certainly do have some big tournaments and lots of small ones every year. We've got maybe three or four real big ones. Next weekend, actually, we have the FLW, I believe it's the Everstart on the Potomac,
right.
And their college series is coming down for that, and then they're going to be in the Upper Bay later this year. So we've got some of the bigger, more televised tours coming, but the
FLW, the Forestdale Wood Tournament Trail, is sprung up a number of years ago as a competitor to BASS when they went the way of ESPN and whatever else they did after leaving Ray Scott.
Yeah, right.
Ray Scott organization. So, that sprung up. Forest Wood, I believe, is still alive, makes Ranger boats. And then you've got the PVA tournament, too, right?
Yeah, well, actually, just this past weekend, we had the Paralyzed Vets of America.
Right.
Have a tour out on the Potomac, and they did great. They released over 95% of the fish they caught alive to the water, which is always wonderful.
That is great. Sure.
Yep. Yep. And DNR was had their hatchery truck down there, so I'm thankful we were able to hold on to those fish because it is a parking lot weigh-in for that tournament.
Right.
It's kind of a specialized case. So it makes things a little bit more challenging, but. You know, I'm glad that we were able to get our truck over there, and then the PVA anglers are great, the director's great. So usually, the tournaments in Maryland do an excellent job of putting those fish back in the water alive. I know that we've had some problems with that. And, in fact, I guess probably one of the biggest problems I hear about is regarding crowding sometimes in these parking lots, particularly the smaller ones. But I think... I think that the venues try and do the best they can do to try and prevent crowding. But you're right, we do have a nice group of tournaments. We've got now that we've got our tournament permitting system in place, which came into effect last year. We've got about 283 tournament events registered for this year.
283 bass tournament events across Maryland. That's awesome.
Across Maryland.
Yeah.
Yep, it is. It is awesome. And we may have more. This number only reflects tournaments with 10 or more anglers.
Right.
Could be, a lot of smaller ones out there.
Yeah.
But, so we've got a lot going on in Maryland. And I think, honestly, even if folks don't like to compete in the tournaments, and there aren't I've run into those people too that don't like the competition. It is fun just to get out there and watch what fish come in,
sure,
and watch how much they weigh, and then see the whole procedure, because especially for some of these bigger ones, they invest an awful lot of money.
Oh, sure.
into keeping those fish
sure
healthy and alive, and that in itself is just a cool process to watch. So.
Have you noticed this new venue, the Major League Fishing, sponsored by Jack Lynx, they bring the fish into the boat, they get a 2-minute penalty if the fish touches the carpet. They weigh the fish instantaneously. They record everything on an iPad and drop the fish back in the water. And it's,
I haven't seen that yet.
That's on the Outdoor Channel. It's called Jack Lynx Major League Fishing. And they only have 24 anglers compete. They have 3 rounds. And after each round, I think the bottom 4 anglers drop out. And then they go on to the championship for, like Geico sponsors a cup and somebody else sponsors a cup, and there's money involved. But it's a unique tournament where the fish is instantly released. Each boat has an observer. They have a digital scale in the boat, and each fish is recorded. Of course, everybody in the field has access to the iPad network or whatever it is where they're using, and one guy will catch a fish and he'll go, Kevin Van Dam just caught a 4-pounder and that put him into second place, and the guy that's in last place, he goes, oh man, I got to catch up, and it's kind of interesting,
I'd love to see more tournaments go to something like that. They have paper tournaments, but this is that sounds a lot more high tech and verifiable. Right.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, yep. Very much so. Yeah, because you got an angler and a spotter with each boat, and the guy brings a bass in and he drops a 12-inch bass on the carpet, and it costs him 2 minutes of fishing time, and it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Pretty good way to have it set up. So, well, yep. Good. 200 and how many?
283.
Good.
Yeah.
Grief. All right. Pretty, hey, look. We got a lot of people that don't compete in bass fishing that love to bass fish. How do we keep track of those people if we need to keep track? I mean, I don't need to have, DNR is not the NSA and they don't need to know our every movement, but we do need to know some information about management. So how do bass anglers, other than the angler's log, and here's my 4-pound largemouth or my 2-pound smallmouth or whatever. How do they help DNR with that type of thing?
Well, the angler's log does help a little bit. We've had some success with that with respect to the snakehead over the past 2 or 3 years. But
right.
We are trying to, like you mentioned, get something a little bit more legitimate on paper. A lot of states use, you know, catch information from their anglers to reflect whether the fishery is good or not. They certainly use that information to determine how much money is generated by the fishery, which you may know, you know, is very important at the state level because,
yeah,
you know, they have a budget that they have to allocate funds from. So what we're doing this year, or what we started doing actually late last year, is developing a volunteer angler survey that is multi-species oriented. And I've got my own, our Royal Inland Zone freshwater survey where anglers who fish largemouth bass or fish white perch or crappie or anything in tidal fresh or freshwater, northern snakehead, could participate. They simply log on to the site and enter in their catch information, who they are, well, not their name, but where they went, how many fish they caught, if they kept any fish, if they harvested any. And then what we're doing is we're going to summarize all that information each year and then try and get that information out to the public. And so far we've got about a little over 200 participants so far, which is great considering the program just started.
Sure, that's great.
Every time someone sends in an angler's log entry, they receive a automated response email that encourages them to, with the website address, that encourages them to participate in the survey. And at least for this year, Bass Pro Shops has gratefully donated $200 gift cards to Bass Pro.
Right.
And at the end of the year, we're going to, of all the anglers who are participating in any of the volunteer angler surveys, we're going to do a random drawing and award those two gift cards, which is great incentive. But I think that the better incentive for anglers to participate is that it really does inform us on where the good fisheries are, where the bad fisheries are. It gives us a more general view than a single angler telling.
Right.
And that helps inform stocking strategy or regulations.
Yep.
Or lack of removing regulations. So it's, you know, that kind of information is very important.
And that's on the website.
Management.
That's on the website, the Volunteer Angler Survey, and they can go through and click through there. And I think you you have to register each time you go on there. But I suggested to Marty Gary, and I know it got kicked around a little bit, was actually using your DNR ID to log on to the Angler Survey.
Right. We looked into that, actually, the short answer is that, if I recall correctly, both systems are so very different from one another.
I got you.
That's not possible.
We need a little integration here.
So. Yeah.
But that's okay. Listen, we are taking calls, Joe. We have Tackle Box Tim Sherman on the line, and he's in his car. He wants to ask a question, I'm sure. And then, it's going fast, isn't it? I told you it would. So we got a lot to cover. But let's talk to Tim and see what Tim has to say. Good morning, Tim. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, my question is, a few years back, probably 2009, Middle River bass fishing was lights out. And since then, it's like gone completely opposite. There's nobody's reporting fish there. Not too many people are fishing there because the fishing is down. Do we know, Joe, what might have happened a few years back to knock down the fish in Middle River? Or is there any studies going on looking at that body of water?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's been something we've been talking about, I guess, for the past, well, I guess since I started this job about 5 years ago. The Middle River is an interesting system. It did have a lot of, from what I understand, we don't have any surveys out that way, but from what I understand from the anglers, it was a better fishery. We do know that the watershed has changed a lot in the past 10 years. It looks like there's been a lot of development, which can influence the water quality there a bit. Change the salinity levels or the buffering capacity of the stream, and that could have affected reproduction or recruitment out there. We have, I guess, over the past 3 or 4 years, been working with Maryland Bass Nation. Scott Sewell is an angler out there. He's also a conservation director of the Maryland Bass Nation, and we've been working with him and Domino Sugar to try and stock some adult bass, 1 pound, 1.5 pound bass out there over the past 2 or 3 years. So, and we tag some, and anglers have been catching them, and they reported them over the past couple of years. Now, I'm not sure what the good news about that is that the bass have been all caught in Middle River, and they were all released in Middle River. So that leads me to think that the bass are still in Middle River, which is nice. It's a tough system for us to survey simply because our gear isn't as effective in that river as it is in more freshwater systems, more freshwater type streams.
That gets pretty choked up, doesn't it, Joe?
What's that?
It gets pretty choked up, doesn't it, Joe?
Yeah, it can. The
aquatic growth is unbelievable over there, at least it used to be. Tim, you still find that to be the case, a lot of grass?
Oh, actually, I was in the 1st of June. I was in some of the coves further up in the Middle River, Hopkins and Norman, and I found very few grass beds whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I talked to some property owners there, and they said over the last couple of years in those creeks that the grass population in the summer is nowhere near what it used to be.
Maybe that's part of your problem rather than part of your solution, Tim.
Yeah, I would think so because, like you mentioned earlier, the grass is so vital to the protection of the young and actually cleaning the water as the tides flow in and out.
Yeah.
Right. And, it's going to be tough. We'd like to see more people fishing out in Middle River because I know how many people, there are a lot of people that live in that area. It might be that we're just not going to get a very good self-sustaining population out there, and so perhaps the only way to keep fishing good out there is to continue to stock maybe some older fish. But unfortunately, that system's changed a lot. And, there have been a lot of suggestions as to why the fisheries changed. It could be the grasses, could be water quality, it could be anglers moving fish out of Middle River and bringing them into the Upper Bay or to other systems or to the gunpowder. There are a few reasons that could be. Unfortunately, we're not really sure which one's really it. If it is grasses or water clarity, water quality, that's kind of tough for us to deal with. There are some older bass out there that can be caught, but it might just never be what it used to be.
Well, that kind of leads us into my next question, Joe, and that is, as far as stocking is concerned, you mentioned stocking adult fish. I mean, does stocking make a difference in these systems? I mean, and how can things like the angler survey that we talked about earlier and Tim's call right here, for example, how can that influence where you guys stock bass? And I know the hatchery program is extremely successful and extremely viable for restocking places like the Chop Tank and other areas. But how do we know where those fish need to go?
Well, the anglers, when they call, they talk to us through, sometimes they attend we have a round table every year where we talk to anglers. So maybe this volunteer angler survey will help inform us as well. But we like to know where the popular areas are to go fishing because that kind of gives us some direction on the streams or the water bodies that we need to focus our efforts on. And Middle River definitely is one of them because I've been hearing people talk about that system for a while now. And the Chop Tank's another. We are working on determining whether our stocking efforts are really making an impact or not. So far, we've learned at the very least they help stabilize recruitment.
Right.
But they don't necessarily lead to a boom of the population.
Right.
Nationwide, that's from my work with other biologists nationwide, that tends to be the sentiment that, stocking a system where there are bass, even a few bass, doesn't necessarily lead to a big population. So it's not necessarily going to solve the problem.
Right.
Temporarily, like for example, stocking older fish, it can temporarily lead to better catch rates by anglers. Anglers will start, catching more if we put some bigger fish out there. But that's something that, like trout stocking, is something that needs to be ongoing.
Sure.
And I think that's where we are right now. We've got a little bit We've got this long-term project in the chop tank. It's a stocking project to try and boost up that fishery, but it's also a study for us to determine just how effective our hatchery program is at revitalizing a fishery. So I'm hoping we'll know something more about our, you know, effectiveness in the next, in the very near future. But as of now, you know, I think where we are is we recognize stocking can possibly help, but it's certainly not going to, you know, solve the problem.
We had recently, and you may have seen the picture of our director with his 5-pound, 13-ounce smallmouth. Have you seen that picture?
No, but that's, I've heard, where did he catch that?
One of the local reservoirs, which at this point shall remain nameless, but fished with some of the reservoir guys. And one of their concerns on that particular reservoir is the largemouth population not being what it was. And I know you're a title guy, but wondering in a reservoir situation, in a captive situation like that, do you know if stocking would help? And one of the things that was brought up was perhaps a different strain of bass, whether the Florida strain of bass would survive this far north.
Oh yeah, two great questions. I'll get to the second one.
Yeah,
we definitely don't want to bring Florida bass up this way. They have had a history of doing that. In the Chop Tank River, Florida bass were stocked. In fact, we still have some of those genes, some of the genetics of Florida bass in that population, and some of our other populations.
Right.
Result. We certainly don't want to do that. There have been some studies coming out of the Midwest that indicate that actually reduces the vigor of our largemouth bass here. So it actually reduces the ability for that population to sustain itself by having some of those by having that genetic material in the mix.
Right.
We certainly don't want to encourage stocking of Florida bass. I mean, we're Maryland. It's a little northern. We're not the system where Florida bass were adapted to, so
right.
They're just not going to do well up this way. But, you know, in terms of stocking and building back a largemouth bass fishery to a reservoir, I'd say that the system really needs to be examined first before making, you know, decisions like that. It could be that I think it's important to know that really only a few nests of largemouth need to survive, need to be successful in order for the population to do good, to be
right.
sustainable. So anglers can go out there and catch fish and not really have too much of a dramatic impact on reproduction. So there could be just an awful lot of harvest, which I know used to be the case for
right.
some reservoirs. And if that's the case, and if it's a legal harvest or poaching, then that's something that needs to be dealt with.
Right.
If it's a change in habitat, then stocking fish, stocking bass out there
isn't going
to
help. Right.
And if it's you know, too many predators, and maybe the system's changed in a way that would not allow, you know, bass to survive too well in that system at different life stages, I think it's important to recognize what those changes were so that the biologist can stock the correct life stage
right.
to improve that population. So I think someone who works on the reservoirs probably need to take a better look at the fishery itself as well as the ecosystem before
right.
making a decision on how to stock it to revitalize it.
Okay, Joe, Tim, you're welcome to hang. We have to take another break, unfortunately.
Alan, I'm going to try to get further down the eastern shore. I appreciate your time.
And, all right, buddy.
Hey, I caught a 16-and-a-quarter-inch smallmouth in the gunpowder the other day.
Somebody asked me about that the other day. They were fishing the gunpowder for trout and caught a smallmouth and said, are there smallmouth in there? I said, yes, there are.
Absolutely. There
Don't tell anybody. Too. Thanks, Tim. See you, buddy. There he goes. All right, Joe, hang on there. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. It is time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. Diamond Jim. He's a tagged rockfish worth $10,000 this month. He's swimming in the Chesapeake Bay just waiting to take your bait, your chum, your spot, your trolling bait, whatever it might be. Diamond Jim has lots of imposters out there, too, but even they're worth $500. You catch a rockfish with a bright green tag, don't take that tag out, but call that number on the tag. You might just have captured a 10 $1,000 prize. And if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland cetacean-sized fish or even a crab and certify your catch, it's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. You can win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center out there in Garrett County, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book with your license, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
Hey, let's give a little shout-out. Congratulations to Jack Carter at Catonsville Linex. Jack's getting married today. So, Jack, if you're listening, look, have a great wedding today. And it's time for me to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. 242-6108 is the phone number. If you like bass fishing, trout fishing, pan fishing, striped bass fishing, you name it, they've got the tackle, they've got the rod and reel repair, they've got the live bait, and everything you need for fishing. If you like to hunt, they've got the great Browning firearms and others, muzzle loaders from Thompson Center. They've got firearms for home protection, self-protection, if you like, and well, they're just your complete sporting goods store. Gunsmithing services, scope mounting, rod and reel repair, as I mentioned. Why not call them? 242-6108. That's 410-242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop. Don't forget the fishing hotline, 247-3474. That's 410-247-FISH for Clyde Sports, ClydeSports.com.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, folks, our guest today has been Dr. Joe Love, PhD, I might add, the title bass manager for Maryland Department of Natural Resources. And, Joe, we are unfortunately out of time. We've covered a lot of topics, but we got a lot more to go, so you'll have to come back.
All right, anytime.
All right, so
I appreciate it.
No problem. We appreciate you being here, and we're headed out of town here shortly. So we would like you to stay on the line and listen to our exit song this morning. We picked this out just for you.
I will do.
All right, stay on the line.
All right.
us at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box. It's always under construction for all my weapons of mass destruction. I got buzz baits and Zara spooks, pumpkin seeds and flukes, booyah crawfish jigs. I got a 7-foot flipping stick, all the soft plastics to hook one on a Texas rig. My wife stays on me and my banker just told me that he's working on a tax deduction for all the money I'm dropping on my weapons of mass destruction.
All right, we want to thank our guest Joe Love for being with us today, talking about bass fishing. I'm getting excited to go bass fishing again, buddy. So
do it. And you know we've got a snakehead tournament at the end of this month. So if you feel like going out and getting some snakehead, Wack Factor Outdoors is putting it on over on the Potomac River. So come on out and
that's everything. That's bow fishing, yeah. Killing them with a pitchfork or whatever you can do, right?
However you can bring them in. Yep, that's right. It's a good time.
All right. Well, maybe we'll come down and have a snakehead fry.
That's good, man. There'll be some free food there. So.
I love it. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Joe.
All right. You take care.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye. All right, folks. That does it for another week of the Outdoors and Radio Show. We hope you enjoyed it. Email is Ellis, my last name, E-L-L-I-S, at ellisoutdoors.com. Send us your crab pictures if you're having a crab feast this weekend. We'll put them in next year's Maryland Loves Crabs. Look for that at your local crab, whatever, crab shack, tackle shack, that type of thing. Clyde's got them. Fishbones has them. Linex has them, both locations. So check them out. And you can see it online, too, at Maryland Loves Crabs. That's mdlovescrabs.com. Ellis Outdoors is our blanket website for everything. You can link right from there to there. And like us on Facebook. And everybody, fathers,